Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's very important. Like, you got to be able to talk. And if I can't hear you back there, I got a problem with it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just making sure that he's giving me the call, and he does a great job with it. I don't really got to talk to him much, and he's ahead of it before I am. And that's what I wanted to say to you.
Bill's Corner, Teron Johnson talking second-year player Cole Bishop there.
Speaking of players that have been having a good day today, Johnson.
Ooh.
Teron Johnson's been
his name has
over.
Not come up a ton in terms of training camp.
Yeah. No, today I'm seeing a lot of Teron Johnson for camp reports here today.
Giddy up.
Being all over the field. My boy Dorian Strong is struggling, though, today.
Yeah, I was seeing some of those tweets. And I'm like, well, I mean, it's going to happen. He is a sixth-round pick.
Yeah,
rookie.
I mean,
not all going to be perfect. It's all right. It's okay. Matt Milano, though, having a great
toughest
day.
Toughest battles are given to the strongest soldiers.
We'll see if that continues. Coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University is brought to you by Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors & Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. We will listen back to Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady come up in just about a half hour. Though, did want to mention, as Derek pointed out, there are some guys that are having good days at camp. We talked with Sal just a little while ago, and you know, he was mentioning Milano a lot, and he has been the last few days. It is not just you know, today, you know, where he has a pick on Allen and everything like that. It's just, Derek, I meant really what I said to Sal, and that is I've kind of, like the Bills, have learned to live without him. And so I have been a little bit slow going of thinking Milano would be anything other than a pretty good, fine, you know, and maybe Dorian Williams ends up taking a spot and they do truly move on to the next phase. He is 31 years old. If he, though, is going to be a problem for other teams to deal with, again, not saying he's going to go back to what he was, you know, three seasons ago when he was an all-pro, but if he can get close to that, if he can get to that point where people are like, nah, Matt Milano's back.
Yeah. If Matt Milano is even close, like you said to Sal, if he's even close to back to what he was, I already felt good about the linebacking core already this year. If Milano is able to take the snap share that he usually would, look out. That is probably the most comfortable position of the defense at that point, because then what, your primary backup is Dorian Williams, who led the team in tackles last year.
Yeah, so you feel pretty good about that.
You feel real good about that.
Funny enough, looking back at Milano's all-pro season, I mean, three picks, 72 tackles, seven QB hits, 12 tackles for loss. He was awesome. We all know that. But it does all of a sudden become a thing of, you've got Bernard, you've got Williams, now you've got Milano. I've talked a lot about the additions to the defensive line, and I think that unit is going to be just flat out better. If Bishop, who continues to have a pretty good summer and maybe into the fall as well, now all of a sudden they do potentially have elite players who can make differences on game days where they haven't had that the last few years on defense, whether due to injuries or just guys are good, not awesome.
And yet, oddly enough, they still get turnovers.
Every year they do get turnovers. But again, in the playoffs, though, when the guy needs to make a big play, you know, this is where Rousseau, who was ascending all of last year, having career highs or tying career highs in most statistics.
He plays his worst game of the year.
And so now all of a sudden, if you do get a guy like a Matt Milano or a Christian Benford really pop off this year and become kind of that stalwart, like, hey, when they need to make a play on that side of the ball, they can do it. I mean, look, they gave up 30 points to the Chiefs, a team that hadn't scored 30 points all year for a reason. They were an okay defensive unit that at times really fell away, specifically against the run and on third down. If they can fix either, if not both of those issues in one offseason.
Or enough of both of them.
Enough of both of them. that would be massive going forward. And this is where I've brought up, if they're even just slightly better on the defensive line, and that means Rousseau doesn't disappear in the biggest game of the year, they actually get some interior pass rush, this looks like a Super Bowl roster. I have seen on social media people bringing up, and I know Sal did with Nate on Sunday, you know, is this the most competitive camp that the Bills have had in terms of like just top down talent wise? There's only really a few positions that are open for even starting spots. And that's why I do look at it as like, if the defensive line is better, if a guy like Matt Milano gets even slightly close to his all-pro year from 3 years ago, I have a really hard time, barring disastrous injuries, from not seeing this team go back to an AFC championship.
And, oh, by the way, here's one for you. More on the injury lines piling up here. Ty Johnson receiving medical attention from the Bills staff after a hit near the sideline by Andreessen. So, the saga continues.
I can't even say it's just the Bills either. Malik Nabers picked up an injury today at Giants camp. It looked to be a left shoulder. Xavier Worthy left the field for a little bit for Kansas City. You're already seeing with Dallas, they had two offensive linemen go down. Tyler Guyton, though, didn't ultimately tear his ACL, but he is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. No one, it seems like, is having a fun time at camp right now.
Training camp is starting to become this brutal thing. And it reminds me of a tweet that was sent in by Steve yesterday saying something about like that 6 weeks between OTAs and minicamp and training camp needs to stop being a thing. And they need to do more of a 10-day, let's get into OTAs, like a little bit of a minicamp right before training camp.
Mm-hmm.
You break everyone in, slow but steady, get everyone the install, and then you get into training camp like 3 days later. Like, that seems like a much better idea. Or like you'd get 10 days off, not 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is, whew, this is getting to be, it's still very annoying to me.
And
I'm
this
not
is the
concerned.
Thing, like, they'll still have their summer break. What Steve and you were kind of talking about is more just move dates around.
Move dates around. You still have your 6 week break.
Mm-hmm.
Just shuffle the OTAs and minicamp closer to actual camp.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder how much like some of that stuff plays into it. I mean, this is why they also stopped doing two-a-days and stuff like that. Like, guys' bodies were getting beat down. I mean, mm-hmm. it was too much. Now we're adding more games and stuff like that. It's not helping. We're taking away preseason games, sure, yeah, but they're adding them in the regular season.
They're adding more games. That's what they're doing. That's what they continue to do.
And, yeah, I mean, maybe 6 weeks off and then going right into training camp maybe isn't the best thing in the world. Because you do wonder, too. I mean, like, some of these guys, I'm not pointing fingers at any of the guys that are necessarily injured, but this is probably true at least somewhat around the NFL. 6 weeks away from the team, are you putting in 100% to get your body ready for training camp? Are you really? Are you sure? And then they show up and, you know, it's a hamstring injury or it's just, you know, their body's a little tight. You know, they're not able to go full bore. And so when they do 2-3 days in, they're picking up nicks and bruises. I don't know. I think there's always a different way to do it. The medical staffs on these teams are always evolving. They're always getting better. They're always trying different things. So maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea for the NFL to be like, hey, we'll move our dead period towards, you know, I don't want to say the schedule release, but we're also getting to the point where we're going to have uniform releases as like a special day. But just move them around a little bit and have your dead period a little bit earlier in the off season. And I think maybe that's what they're worried about, is they kind of like having the dead period when nothing else is going on. And sports are sort of just like, we're done for the next month. They seem to really like that, but maybe it isn't the best for them in terms of the product. But now on that, though, ultimately, as long as quarterbacks aren't getting hurt, the product will still probably be good.
It'll still be relatively good.
Yeah.
You would like for the injuries to slow down, though. At this point, it is getting to, like, again, I'm still at the annoying stage, but that word might change if it keeps happening throughout the week at the rate that it's going.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I need to keep seeing this stuff happening. That's the part that's a little more on the concerning side, is it keeps happening right now. It's players are picking up something, and while some come back, more join the sideline.
Ty Johnson, by the way, back on the field with a helmet.
Okay, that's good news, though. Ready? But that's, you know, people picking things up.
Mm-hmm.
Do they deal with it for the whole season is now something that you think about.
Turf toe with Curtis Samuel, of course, last mm-hmm. year was really the big one, where just he never seemed to get right until like the last month of the season. Then he was good. You know, especially in the AFC Championship game, outside of James Cook, he was maybe the Bills' best skill position player. I do look at it, though, too, and how much of this the Bills being safe. You know, mm-hmm. we talked with Sal about that a few times of just like you pick up anything, like don't worry. You're not
we're not rushing you back.
We're gonna sit you down for 2-3 days, like you're fine. Don Kincaid has knee soreness. Elijah Moore has lower leg soreness or a general leg soreness. And they're like, cool, you're down for a day or two.
Yep. Ogunjobi's got a vet rest day right now.
Right.
Wasn't someone out for heat, I do believe. Like it was a little bit of a heat.
I saw that I'm blanking on who it was.
Yes, I remember Sal said something about that, so
But then that might be.
Yeah.
But then we also have stuff like Hairston, where we're now kind of sitting on pins and needles, sort of waiting for anything. And it probably won't even happen like while we're on air. It'll probably be coming later on in the day.
Right.
Where we learn something about Hairston. Did not go on a cart. I have not seen anything about him going to a cart. And I'd imagine most of the Bills media that's at camp would be paying attention for that or seeing for any of that. Haven't seen anything like that, which is good. And I think it's at least a good sign. I think it's a bit of a better sign than him walking off under his own power that for knee injuries a lot can actually mean not much at all.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's nothing terrible has happened yet for Bills camp.
Nothing devastating.
And I don't want to wish that into existence. I don't want to say that into existence. Don't get me wrong.
Your fault if it happens.
But it's where you bring up like it's more frustrating. It's more annoying more than anything because they have a lot of guys down. And to be fair, last practice yesterday. I heard they went to a lot of run stuff. Well, most of the receivers and tight ends were down. Like, of course they did. And so that's where it becomes frustrating because I mentioned Cole Bishop kind of loses his entire rookie year because he picks up an injury and kind of can't catch up.
And he can't
Samuel, catch up. Samuel, same thing, picks up an injury in camp and can't catch up. So I see a lot of people saying, well, it's July. Cool. And some of these guys will never catch up
because they
missed a week and a half of practice in July.
And that might be, honestly, that's probably going to be Hairston. I think his rookie season might end up being a little bit of a wash because of the quality of depth at the position.
Mm-hmm.
And this might be something that takes him out for a little bit.
Yeah, if this takes him out for a little bit, and then you add in the fact that Trey White has looked good at camp,
mm-hmm.
it really might be a thing of, like, take a red shirt, sit and learn, gear up, get ready to go.
Learn from Trey and Benford in the classroom.
Because the same will not be true for the defensive line. They will have to go right away with the additions of Hoyt and Ogunjobi being out at least 6 weeks. And, of course, if they pick up an injury, that could be longer. Mm-hmm. But they're going at least 6 weeks to start the year. The young guys are going to have to go right away.
The young D tackles are going to have to go right away, and you definitely want to make sure that they're up to speed as best as possible. And, at corner, because of the depth of the position, everyone's thinking, Dane Jackson, does he now suddenly have some say on a roster spot,
mm-hmm.
for example? Because I started kind of dismissing him at this point.
Not
because of his play, just because I don't know if there's enough room for him as another veteran addition to a team where he knows the defense, and that's probably his biggest strength. But if Dorian Strong continues to add value with special teams or Jamarcus Ingram holds on with his versatility or Cam Lewis, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Hancock's going to fight for a spot. He was playing some free safety snaps when Bishop left the field momentarily. There's a lot of fighting that has to go on for the cornerback position to where, you could dismiss Dane Jackson. Now, if an injury is picked up by someone and it's a longish term
mm-hmm.
in terms of training camp, maybe even if it's a short term within the season, well, they might hold on to him.
Yeah.
And it's because they would want to for that reason. Have that insurance. That's why they brought these guys in. And now, we'll see what happens. But, it is getting to a point where, it's noteworthy. It's annoying. It's noteworthy. It's something you kind of want to hope slows down. Because if it doesn't, this will look like a year that starts out frustrating and it might end frustrating.
Yeah, because it's one of those things that just it keeps going. They're constantly not healthy. We're having the conversations in October, November of we haven't seen this unit at 100% yet. And that's not fun for anybody. That's exhausting. That's annoying. And I will say, I've mentioned it with Sal, I think now the last 2 days. I don't want to call it the biggest story of camp so far because I like hearing that Matt Milano looks awesome, that Keon Coleman is really starting to pop off and starting to stack good days. Trey White looks to really have found his old form. But when you're in a Super Bowl window, when you're a team hunting down your first Lombardi trophy, even just flat out just making the game for the first time in over 30 years, and especially with this core, injuries so quickly, and especially with this group, do take the headlines fast. because this group over the last few years in these playoff losses can squarely point to, we had A.J. Klein off the couch playing linebacker because guys went down.
Right.
You know, that's an issue that, you know, Trey White, our all-pro corner, went down. Von Miller, our future Hall of Fame pass rusher, went down. We didn't have them. Those excuses only go on so far. And to your point, you bring up cornerback depth. And it's a big reason why they did that.
Right.
Is Benford went down, and they had to go Rasul Douglas and Kyer Elam. And that led to nothing good at all. Now they've drafted two guys. I mean, you can even throw in Hancock there as well, but he's going to be kind of a more versatile, kind of everywhere guy in the secondary. But they made additions there, including bringing in Trey White. The additions on the defensive line and everything they've got there. The additions in the linebacker room. They really have set themselves up to, if these happen, and it's football and it's a long season, they likely will happen. They're in good spots, but you will lose something when starters go down for backups. That is just a fact.
You will lose something as starters go down. And Matthew Bove tweeting something that is kind of painting the picture of how the day has gone and how the week has kind of started off for them. If you want to know how the day is going, Josh Allen threw a deep touchdown to Steven Gosnell.
Not a real person. Got it. Dan's playing tricks on everybody. That's not a real person.
That's how camp has gone at the start for the Buffalo Bills. And again, I'm not worried yet. I'm definitely annoyed. And you definitely want to like find the toggle switch of like settings, turn injuries off for just a day. Just a day. Give us one day of respite.
But it has made every single practice
a little worrisome.
A little worrisome. And we haven't even gotten to games yet.
Yeah.
And ultimately, thanks to the Rams, a lot of starters don't play in these games, right? But if backups start going down, if you do start picking up injuries, that is going to happen regardless. You have to play the games. You can't just sit there and go, well, we forfeit. Just notch an L. You have to play the games. You have to.
Like, the Bills brought in Willie Snead.
A workout. Justin Ross as well.
Yeah, like, they're bringing in guys for workouts. It's like, can we slow down just a little bit, please? That's it. That's all I want right now. It's just, I'm not asking for, hey, stop with injuries. At least just slow it down. I'm definitely getting annoyed with seeing, hey, there's another one.
Even more to this, it's around the league. Patriots all-pro corner Christian Gonzalez suffered a hamstring injury during Monday's practice. Is going to sideline him for a bit. This is coming from Jordan Schultz. Told, though, it will not impact his week one availability. But again, it is one of those you miss the key components to building your season as a team during training camp. You're going to miss those days. Now, Christian Gonzalez is an awesome player. He's all-pro corner, and he absolutely deserved that. But to a Patriots team that is trying to take the next step, and they have a lot of questions on offense, maybe not a quarterback, but kind of everywhere else, their defense needs to be the big unit for them, and Gonzalez is a huge part of that. He is maybe the biggest part of that, and it's happening everywhere. Xavier Worthy, I think I saw he went back on the field with his helmet for the Chiefs. Malik Nabers, I've not seen anything yet on him. I've already mentioned the stuff with Dallas, them losing Tyler Guyton for 4 to 6 weeks, although not a torn ACL. They also had an offensive lineman, I believe, break a bone in his neck or on his shoulder.
Christian Gonzalez reportedly suffering a hamstring injury yesterday. Mm-hmm. That will sideline him for a bit.
Yep.
So like he might miss a good amount of camp for the Patriots. Man, no, like you said, nobody's having fun.
Yeah, no, nobody's having a good time at all. 803-0550, the number to call. On that, though, I mean, like, to end this maybe more on, like, a positive note.
Yeah, let's not talk about doom and gloom constantly for an entire
it is good, though, that like guys like Matt Milano and Trey White, who I think most of us coming into the year were maybe not expecting too much from them. Of course, when you picked up Trey White, you get Max Harrison, and the assumption is, well, yeah, Trey White may start camp as CB2. The hope is always Harrison will just take it over.
Right? Correct.
You know, just kind of this bloodless coup almost in a way where, yep, all right, yep, Harrison just one day is CB2. Matt Milano, you mentioned it, Dorian Williams, he is that guy that led the team in tackles. Maybe he really is becoming their next off-ball linebacker as a starter. But to see them both starting practice so well, starting the pad of practice so well, starting camp so well, it does allow you to maybe not force the rookies in. I know a lot of Bills fans do get very annoyed, and I'm even part of that, of play the young guys. It can work. They can add a pop to your team.
I also think it's a misconception.
But I think it's become a misconception over the last few years. They do get those guys in. And also, it's not always a bad thing to just flat out play the better players. It doesn't mean they're taking too long to get Hairston in or Dorian Williams getting, you know, sidelined. If the best players are the best players, you play them. I think early on there was maybe this they're not playing the rookies enough. Come on, get them in, what have you. Mm-hmm. Now I don't really have that. Osiris Torrance played a ton right away. I don't think he missed
starter,
a game.
He was a starter day one.
Spencer Brown, as a fourth round pick, it took him three games, and then he's been their starting right tackle since outside of injuries.
And then literally a battle between two rookies for cornerback two a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. Christian Benford and Kyrie Elam.
And they had no issue giving a lot to a sixth-round rookie. They had no issue doing that.
No issue with it. They didn't hesitate, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I think that it's a little bit of a misconception on like the rookie thing. I do think right now it's Trey White's own ability mm-hmm. that has held off Hairston more so. Because Sal said, like, he may even think of it as it's just when they're comfortable with Hairston that they'll be ready to cede those snaps to him. But if Trey White's going to keep playing like this, they're not going to rush this, especially if Hairston picked up an injury that is going to last a little bit. Why not play it on a slower burn at that point? Because, hey, White looks good. Trey is looking fine. He looks like he's back. He's, speaking of injury, not dealing with something like that for the first time heading into a camp in a couple of years. So he's the freshest he's going to feel. And also mm-hmm. just even mentally in that sense, like I said yesterday.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. Milano having a strong camp. He's also someone that's not dealing with an injury into it right now. And please let that one stay that way, please.
Well, because he's been somebody.
Last year it was, he tore his bicep hitting the tackling dump.
Making a routine play in practice.
And it, like, I get, like, that's one of those I'm just like, oh, that was going to happen at some point anyway then. You know,
right,
like that's such a bad luck play. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess that, like, I don't know, maybe that was going to happen all along, or it's just that is one tough tackling dummy.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Sal Capaccio has more on practice today, including Max Hairston leaving the field on Tuesday, up at our website, WGR550.com.
Hey, listen all this week, by the way, for your chance to win a pair of grandstand tickets to the NASCAR Cup Series weekend from Friday, August 8th to Sunday, August 10th at Watkins Glen International. The Go Bowling at the Glen brings the drivers of the NASCAR Cup Series to battle it out around the historic New York Road Course. Tickets are on sale for the entire NASCAR weekend at theglen.com. Coming up next, we'll hear from Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady, as he spoke with the media earlier today before practice. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Welcome back, everyone. Hour number two rolling along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We go back to this morning before practice as Bills OC Joe Brady spoke with the media.
What have you learned about the process of this here at camp? Through your time as being an OC, and even maybe going before that.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
You get to this point, there's certain benchmarks you might want to hit. How do you approach the process now as it changed over the years?
Yeah, it's you try to keep your process. You know, you try not to let it change. Look, I love coming away to camp just because the guys are all together, right? We're going through all the tough times, you know, getting all the calluses, you know, out the way. You know, injuries happen, all that. It just gives you an opportunity to, you know, you get in games and in season, you have to adjust with everything. And so sometimes in training camp, you know, we're going through it right now with some injuries of us having to adjust just like we are in game. And so it kind of gets you, gets your process going with some things that sometimes might not show up as early as you kind of hope that they do. But, I'm enjoying it right now. We got a great group of guys that makes my life a lot easier going through it. But I try not to let my process kind of change year to year, week to week.
Hey, Joe, can you give us a little update on what you're seeing out of Jackson Hogg? I mean, obviously with the tight end, you're getting a chance, but what were the scene early on here?
Yeah, I love, you know, look, Jackson, Jackson's the type of guy that you want when the pads come on, right? And I don't know if you guys talk with him, you might get absolutely no words out of him. Or you might not get him to stop talking, right? He's, you know, he's brilliant. You know, he obviously, you know, he's an Ivy League guy, but you put the pads on, he's as nasty as they come. And The biggest thing with him is it's not too big for him. He understands it all. And now how, once the pads come on, can I play under control and play with detail and execution and technique, you know, and still play with my physicality. But I've enjoyed working with him. I enjoy his approach, his mindset, and I've loved everything I've seen so far.
Jamie, on the flip side, Zach Davidson, we know what he can do catching the football. With the pads on, the physicality and blocking, where have you seen his game evolve and where is that?
Yeah, you can see how important it is to him, right? We see how much of a freak athlete it is, but he understands, like, to play in the NFL on the tight end, right? It's run game and pass game. And look, there's silver linings to everything. I never want anybody to ever be injured. But just like Jackson Hall, Zach Davidson, with some of the injuries to the tight end position, it's given them a lot more opportunity, and both in the run game and in the pass. And like, it's as important, football is as important as it comes to Zach Davidson. And seeing his growth in the run game since we've been here has been a lot of fun. And look, he's still working through the technique. For any of the guys, it's one thing when there's no pads on to work technique, and now when the pads, just the coaching. He's very intentional about it, and it's important to him. Is that going down? Did you guys hear anything? It's good. It probably wasn't. I probably didn't say anything. Yeah.
Cleo was up here a couple of days ago, really crediting you for giving him an opportunity when you took over as OC. What clicked, or what was the thing that clicked between you and him as you took over, as you were watching this team, you know, go through its, you know, whatever?
Yeah. Having Josh Allen as his quarterback naturally makes it the amount of love I have for Khalil Shakir as a person, but also as a player, he makes my life so much easier. He's as selfless as it comes, right? And so it's so easy to coach guys when, if we win the football game, it doesn't matter if he had any catches, and he'd rather that than have 15 catches and we lose. Like yesterday, he came out to practice. He knew it was going to be a run day, and he was like, hey, I set my pads. I'm ready to rock. You know, guy coming off a contract, we're down some wide receivers right now, and he's just like, whatever I got to do, I got to go block and dig a guy out, I'll go do it. And, you know, I saw his approach when he came in here as a wide receiver, and it's like, he's a guy, a great example of a guy, like, don't look at numbers, don't count, just find ways to develop and continue to get better. You know, he got here and shoot, early in that year, he was inactive. His first year, his rookie year, and then injuries happen. He comes out, has an opportunity against Baltimore, and then he just continues working, and his approach doesn't change. And I think some of it was just given the opportunity. We had some injuries, you know, when I kind of took over, but Khalil Shakir is going to just only continue to get better. And we're a huge part, a lot of our success is because of him.
He seems to be the unlikeliest number one receiver, if you want to count him as the number one, but he seems, because of that selflessness, the lack of flash, I mean, even the car he drives. There just doesn't seem to be that receiver diva quality. He doesn't get into the trappings of the NFL.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things is, like, what is a number one wide receiver? Is it style of defense? Is it production? Is it how they're being utilized? Like, there's not a lot of quote-unquote true, undoubtedly number one wide receivers, right, in the NFL. You know, maybe even a handful. So just because a guy might be not your number one on one team, he might be your number one on one team, he might be somebody else. But I think Khalil just embodies the, it doesn't matter what I have to do, I'm going to do it. You know, you see, I think it was day two, you know, he's running an absolute clear out route as fast as he can, open it up for Elijah Moore coming, or I think it was Curtis Samuel coming across, and he came back to the huddle, loving life, all is well. You know, we call that a Joe Brady route. Like, you know, you're not getting the rock, and you're just running for the love of the game. And so, but he doesn't blink. I got to do it. There's a game against Denver where we got a terrible look, and he had to go dig out a linebacker, and cool, he didn't blink, and he went doing. So, again, I can talk hours on Khalil Shakir, and I'm so excited to just continue to work with him.
James was pretty emphatic with us that I'm going to play on third down when he was up here. He seemed like, hey, this is a part of his game he really wants to take pride in. You also have other backs that have been on third down. What goes into that process of understanding where guys fit and what their roles are on third down?
Yeah, look, I think right now it's unique process because we have such a talented running back room with similar skill sets, but also guys that can both play in the run game and the pass game. And that's what's been so cool is we don't have a room that, hey, this guy can only run these runs, this guy can only do protection, this guy can only run routes. And so it allows us to be able to, you know, kind of do different things with them. A guy like James Cook not playing on third down last year, might not have, doesn't have anything to do with his ability in the pass game or him not being able to handle the protection. Some of that is, well, we have these guys up. Ty did a great job on it. Hey, why take a couple more blows in a protection on James Cook? And when I can, you know, when Ty can kind of handle it. And so, but it kind of speaks to who James Cook is. Look, I know they're, you know, like with the contract situation, sometimes it can get a bad rap. James Cook is as good as a teammate as it gets, right? And he wants to be on third down. He wants to be, you know, running the ball inside in the red zone. He wants to do whatever he's got to do. And we've just been fortunate with the type of guys we have in that room that we can play them all on third down. We can play them all on first down. And so some of that is just making sure the defense doesn't know exactly what's coming.
Along with that, do you feel any pressure as a play caller and someone who has to put guys out there in certain situations when, you know, there is stuff, auxiliary stuff like contracts and all that and the like, with a guy like
you? No. Look, I think we just try to preach here, like, we're trying to do whatever we got to do to win that football game. And as long as our guys can embody that, that's the most important thing. And when you start thinking about a potential contract, or you start thinking that I have to do this, I have to do that, you start pressing, you start probably not playing the way, you know, you're capable of playing. And so, you know, look, we'll see as things go. I've been with guys in contract situations, but a guy like James, like, I think you guys see him out here, right? You will throw a ball 40 yards downfield, and he's the first one running to go make a block down there. So I don't worry about him. As long as he just continues to be James Cook, we're going to continue to evolve this offense that it needs to get to, and I don't need him to do anything differently.
Joe, we talked to Connor McGovern a couple days ago, and he was talking about how Josh Allen has given him more responsibilities. How have you seen the offensive line take on more responsibilities, because that group is so cohesive?
Yeah, I think you want to challenge the guys as much as possible. Anytime we can take a little bit off of Josh's plate, it makes his job a little easier. Like today, we're going out there. It's going to be 30 straight snaps of 3rd and 7+, right? And then 2 minute. Like, that's as stressful as it gets for a quarterback, right? But that's also why they get paid, to be able to play in the pocket, make those decisions. But as much as we can teach the offensive line, the centers, if they can see it from a quarterback's perspective, they can at least get it started for Josh and not make Josh have to do it all. And so that's part of the things right now we're challenging, and we have the guys that can do it. And then Josh just kind of confirms it and goes, you know, we're asking him to do a lot, and we put a lot of stress on them, and we have the centers that can handle it, and just the great communication. And look, we're going to have some mess-ups today, right? It's the reality of it. I want that stuff to happen and kind of work through it, but you can see how it is important to them, and I hope the communication's at a high level.
What have you made out of what you've seen from Keon so far this camp?
Just continuing to work on the things we're asking him to work on, you know, not getting caught up on, hey, did I catch a pass? Did I drop a pass? Hey, am I working the technique? Was I where I needed to be? How should I run this release versus this guy? Like, he's so intentional about everything that he does. I think sometimes you get the rap on Keon, like, he's an incredible personality, but football is so important to him, and he wants to be perfect in everything that he does. And so, I've loved what I've seen. You can see the levels of physicality with it. But as always, right, you just, hey, what does it look like from a day-to-day? Can I not necessarily stack days, but can I just, hey, whatever happened yesterday, can I take advantage of it today? And, you know, today's obviously a big down for wide receivers, and have an opportunity to go make a play. So excited for it.
Joe, how would you describe Reggie Gilliam's approach to practice, and how important is a guy like him when pads come on?
Reggie is... look, Bean has done an incredible job putting the roster together, because we have so many guys that are a big reason for who we are. Reggie, you know, he doesn't get a lot of love for what he does, right? He's a guy that opens it up for so many people, and we continue to evolve his game as the game went last year. But there's not many teams that have a fullback, be a fullback that can do what we do with him, and then go down on special teams, run down, and do all of those things. And he's such a special person. He's so unique with his skill set. I mean, we're down tight ends. He's running, you know, deep crosses. There's not a lot of fullbacks in the league. I'm not saying we're going into the game and targeting him as the primary at the one, but he's selfless. He's like, if I got to go do it, I'm going to go do it. And when the pads come on, that's obviously when fullbacks, you know, are loving life a little bit. But he can do so many different roles for us. He's so important. I love Lecky. He's again, you get two tight ends that not a lot of tight ends in college football are doing a lot of the dirty, in the run game and working technique. And so it's been really cool that we have two rookies that Some of that is obviously cleaning up their technique in the run game, but evolving their pass game, you know, from that. And Lecky has just been waiting for pads to come on. I want pads to come on, right? He knows he's not a 7-on-7 tight end where, hey, just put me in a 1-on-1. But when the pads come on, that's when, you know, he has an opportunity to show it. A great character, great personality, and, you know, you're able to see some of the skill set that he had yesterday for sure. Yeah, I think, I might have said it last year when we signed Mike, when growing up playing baseball, like, Mike was just right below me, and, like, so I've known Mike from the same hometown, you know, basically his whole life, so I've always followed him, always been a fan of his game, you know, he's obviously played, you know, in this league, in this division. He was such a big part of our success last year in the QB room. Like, everybody always sees Josh's success, but there's so much more that comes with it throughout the week. And having Mitch, Mike, and Shane in that room has helped his game. It's been really cool. This is really Mike's first time, like, going through the installation of it. You know, it's really hard to come in right before a season and try to just learn the offense, basically learn just the game plan as it goes. I mean, he's running plays against the New England game that he's never repped in practice. You know, it's like, hey, just go out there and play football, right? So, but it's been really cool to see his kind of approach, how he kind of sees things, because every quarterback sees it a little differently. And, you know, look, it's tough with some of the injuries or some of the reps from camp, but just maximizing all those reps. Obviously excited to continue working with Mike.
Joe, what have you learned about working with Josh Palmer on a day-to-day basis?
He's so intentional about it. He's as intellectual as it gets. Like, he wants to know the why behind everything. Sometimes I have to just tell him, like, man, hey, stop thinking, let's go. But you can see after practice, you know, a route with Josh, like, he wants to know the why. He wants to know, hey, how did that feel? What did that look like? It's been a lot of fun with it, because some wide receivers are just like, hey, you know, just I'm going to run that line on paper. But he wants to know, like, hey, did I fool with the quarterback? What my body language? How he runs a route is going to be completely different than Keon. And so it's so important for Josh after practice. Hey, if I run this route and I got this DB, this is what that route's going to look like. But if it's Keon, so us just sorting through it, the communication. So excited that we got him and continuing to work with him.
How different is it to have a guy like that? I mean, John was asking about how receivers stereotypically are divas, guys who kind of do their own thing. It sounds like Josh is almost the other way, where he's so intellectual, you almost got to free him up a little bit.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
How different is it to coach a guy like that?
Yeah, I think receivers just in general get a bad rap. You know, like, since I've been here, we have not had a guy that wasn't a smart wide receiver. We didn't have divas. Like, I know sometimes people can get the raps. They're not divas. It is hard to play in the NFL and to be a receiver in the NFL with and have production. You can't do that without understanding the game and technique and be an extremely smart wide receiver. Josh is just unique in a sense of, like, wanting the communication at an all time and asking Josh with it, you know? And so, it takes time. We had a lot of new wide receivers last year. We got new guys this year. People think you can just roll the ball out and just throw and catch. I wish it was that easy. Unfortunately, we have a quarterback that oftentimes can make it look that easy, but there's so many intricacies that come with it, the body language, how they run the routes, what routes they run. And so as much as that we can talk about it out on the field, rep it, go into the meeting room, talk through it, and continue repping it, that's what's most important. I think the first day we did one-on-ones, him and Josh worked the exact same throw 3 straight times. Two of them were incomplete, first 2 were incomplete, and I told him, don't change the route. The route was perfect, you know, so we can't get caught up in the results with it. And so that's what something, you know, we're just talking with him is don't get caught up on it was an incomplete pass. Like, it's us sorting through it and a lot of fun to work with.
Joe, with all the injuries and getting to see some, you know, new faces, guys get more reps than expected, has anyone surprised you?
Well, I think it's really early. I don't like throwing just names out there. And especially the receiver position, it's guys getting opportunities that they might not necessarily have gotten, and it's how can they take advantage of those reps. There's guys that, hey, they might have only been getting 2 reps in practice. Well, now today they're going to be getting reps with Josh Allen. You know what I mean? And like, What does that stage look like for those guys? Is it too big for them? And I don't think we have those guys, but it's a great opportunity. I don't really blink when we have injuries, and I try to have our guys not blink. So it's just an opportunity for those guys. As long as we have 11 guys out there, we're going to be fine. Look, it's as tough as it gets right now for wideouts. We're down. It's the reality of it. But for some of the guys that if I told them before camp, hey, you're going to have to get twice as many reps as you normally would they be okay with it? They'd be like, heck yeah. And so I'm excited to see some of these guys kind of roll today.
There was a Buffalo Bills offense coordinator, Joe Brady. He did mention injuries there to the wide receiver position. Nothing yet for the Bills today, which is a good sign. They've had some injuries, including Max Harrison, who left practice today early with what appeared to be a right knee injury. Though on the wide receiver note, the Chiefs having a bit of a day. Xavier Worthy went down for a little while. He appears to be fine, though Hollywood Brown limped off the field, was ultimately taken into the training room with the cart. He was on the front seat of the cart from all the reports, so we'll keep an eye on that. But it's a lot of injuries throughout the day around the NFL, not just with the Bills, but the Bills are not skating by scot-free by any means. Max Harrison injured, Cole Bishop hurt as well, though Bishop did return to the sideline with his helmet. 803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. We'll be right back after this quick timeout. This is WGR. Coverage of the Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University is brought to you by Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors & Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys. And driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here for just a few more minutes. No Bills practice tomorrow. They will have the day off. And that could mean that we don't really get a ton of words on some of the injuries from today. Derek, notably Max Harrison, I, during that break, watched John Scott's about a minute and a half long video, John Scott over at WGRZ, about a minute and a half long video of, you know, Harrison getting worked on by the medical staff and then players coming over. I'll be completely honest with you, having watched that, I don't feel good about this at all.
It looked like they were testing the durability of the ACL. They didn't get the cart immediately after that, though, so there's the good news there.
No, but players came over and spent a good bit of time with Harrison.
It is player reaction. I do think that it's going to be something that it's not – I don't think it's season-ending because, again, I feel like that's when a player's emotions know that he's cooked, thing like that, you know, and the players are devastated sort of thing. I could be wrong. I'm not a doctor, and we don't even see the injury that actually happened.
No, there has been no video because it was off to the side. It was right. Not during like team or even individual stuff. It was off to the side. I just don't feel awesome because the player reactions. I mean, Harrison.
Player reactions.
I don't
will
know
tell
who
is.
I don't know who was talking with Harrison, but I mean, Harrison.
It was White and Benford.
Benford and I mean, Harrison's head is on Benford's shoulder, and Benford's clearly talking to him for quite a bit of time.
I have not seen the whole video either, though, so that's kind of my operation at this point. My bet is at minimum, it's a longish term injury that'll like spill into weeks into the season. So, hey, that's why they have the depth, unfortunately. Yeah, Life has to move on.
We'll see how this goes. That's going to do it for me and Derek today. Sal Capaccio will be in tomorrow with the Bills off for Wednesday. Of course, coming up on Friday, they'll have the return of the blue and red scrimmage over at the stadium. But coming up after a quick timeout, Sabres Live is with you next. This is WGR.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.